obviously haunted.
Obviously.
So I'm going to repeat what I just said because I wrote it in my script. So,
sorry.
No, you're good. Cool. So you are Ian. You're going to have to pronounce your last name for me.
Oh, Epperson.
Epperson. Okay. Hi, yeah. Ian.
Hi.
And you have a podcast. It's called 13.
Yes.
And I've been listening to it. It's super, super duper spooky. In fact, the topic that we're doing today is sort of an homage to the first like two-parter episode. So are you the sole creator of 13? Are you the magic?
No, there are there's five of us in the I guess core group, and then we have a music guy, and we have sort of a visual person who does trailers for the episodes, and we've got a whole little team. It's kind of cool. Yeah,
that's so professional.
It's really great because there's no way I could do it on my own. Yeah, so it's great to have a team.
I feel like that's so much pressure now
to step up. Why?
Because y'all have such a great like format, and you have this whole team, and it's a really, but it's a different thing. This is a different style of podcast.
It's a very different thing. Yeah, no, yeah. You can't. It's apples and oranges. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, do you do a lot of the writing?
I do a lot of the writing. Me and Bridget do the bulk of the writing.
Okay, awesome.
And yeah.
It's so scary. I mean, like nightmare inducing.
Oh, thank you. I think, maybe.
No, that's good. I guess, anyway.
That's what we're going for, so I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I think most of the people who listen to this podcast, I'm sure that's part of what they're in it for. So.
Good.
Yeah. do you want to say anything about the podcast, about 13?
Yeah, it's just a series of slow burn, atmospheric, spooky stories, right about an hour per episode on Friday the 13th. It comes out on the 13th of the month. On Friday the 13th episodes, we do great big feature length, like 2-3-parter episodes, like the first one where we released on March 13th. The next one on September 13th, the next big episode is like, oh my God, it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes split up into 3 parts. It was such an undertaking, but we're really proud of it. It's going to be really good.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that. That's going to be, okay, cool. Well, that's something to look forward to for sure. Is there anything else that you want to say about it?
You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts, and we hope you enjoy it.
Do you have a preference for where people rate and review, or like, do you prefer Apple Podcasts, or do you prefer?
I have an iPhone, so I use Apple Podcasts, and I'm most comfortable with it. And the ratings and reviews, I guess, they mess with the algorithm somehow to kind of like help your visibility. So it's always helpful there.
Yeah.
But. You know, a download is a download wherever it comes from. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm really excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
So the intro that I normally use that we're going to do, it's I'll say I'm Becky and you'll say and I'm Ian. And then I'll say and Louisville, Kentucky. And we'll say is obviously haunted at the same time.
Okay.
And if we suck at it, it's okay because I will totally cut it together and it'll sound not professional, but better than how it really sounded.
I'm gonna do my best because I heard I listened to a few of these and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it.
Okay, cool. So this is obviously haunted. I'm Becky.
And I'm Ian.
And Louisville, Kentucky is obviously haunted.
Oh.
That was actually pretty good. That's better than me and Allie ever do.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh no, poor Allison. I'm sorry. I love you, Allison. She's going to listen to this and she's going to be mad.
Don't hate me, Allison.
So I chose Louisville.
There's no wrong way to say it.
I chose Louisville because of the first two-parter and also because it has like supposedly one of the most haunted places in America.
Oh, yeah.
Waverly Hills Sanatorium. So this is a big name one, Waverly Hills, for anyone who's in the ghost hunting community, obviously. Do you have any connection to Louisville?
I live in and have grown up in and around Lexington, which is about 45 minutes to an hour east of Louisville. So, yeah, that's our connection. So
you're in Kentucky.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're right here.
Wow. Okay. I don't even think I've ever driven through Kentucky. I've legitimately never been there.
That's okay. You're in Arizona. That's a long way away.
Yeah. Well, but I've been kind of all over and to, yeah, I've never been to Kentucky. And now I kind of feel bad because my spouse is actually born and raised in Kentucky and well, not, I mean, and then Texas like me, but so I'm a little in trouble, I think, for not knowing anything about it.
Well, it's
it,
a great place. You should come visit.
Yeah, yeah, really. I should, definitely just to go to Waverly, but okay. So I guess this is kind of, I didn't realize it until I was going over my notes, but this is kind of another epidemic bonus episode.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I didn't realize it.
I didn't put that together until just this moment.
I know. It's weird. I guess, okay, I'm a theater major. I have a degree. It's in theater, so I feel like I shouldn't be held to a super high standard, but I always sort of thought a sanatorium was like an asylum, and I have learned that that is not correct. They're not asylums. They're
not asylums, but I think on the aesthetic level and for what we're here for,
yeah,
they're very similar.
Oh yeah, equally creepy, lots of tragedy. We'll get into it. So I don't know if I'm actually going to call it an epidemic episode or not. I'll decide later because it's kind of a bummer at this point. I'm a little over epidemics.
Yeah,
it's a bummer, but the way it's going to kind of go down, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history, and then I'm going to tell you about the various ghost stories and hauntings and experiences that people have had there. And then we're going to give it a grade. And feel free to jump in whenever you can react to anything. If you have any kind of personal information to like add to the story, please do. Have you been there?
So I've never been there. I know the part of the city that it's in, but I've never been there. It's tucked away on a hillside. It's hard to see and find, but yeah.
So maybe you'll want to go now.
I know.
You
right?
Won't have any excuses anymore.
I'm a scaredy cat, though, in real life. I love writing scary stories, but I don't like being anywhere near scary things in real life.
Legitimately, I think that's why I do this.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I want to believe. I want to believe so much. But if I've had one ghost encounter in my life, there's a whole episode on it, doesn't matter. I've had one ghost encounter in my life. I have been trying to not reproduce that, but like kind of searching for that ever since.
Yeah.
But I was scared out of my mind when it happened. I was like 16, scared out of my mind. I think if I were to actually experience something at a similar level now, I would just lose it. I would just completely out of fear. Yeah. I just wouldn't
That'd
be able
be
to handle
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what makes it so exciting. okay. So this is from, I mean, my major resources were therealwaverlyhills.com and Atlas Obscura. And if you want a full list of other resources, you can go to obviouslyhaunted.com, the blog post that this will be up with the episode. That wasn't English. I will post the resources on the website. But mostly it was therealwaverlyhills.com and Atlas Obscura. So Waverly Hills Sanatorium was named after the land it was built on, which you even said it's kind of up on a hill. That was Waverly Hill.
Yeah.
That was named after a one-room schoolhouse that used to be on the property at Waverly School, which was, in turn, named after the Waverly novels by Sir Walter Scott.
Oh.
I don't know anything about these novels. I don't actually know anything about any of this, but it just felt really super wholesome. That school was named after these, like, oh, great American novels. Yeah, especially considering its reputation now. It's like, if you hear Waverly Hills, you think super spooky.
Oh, it sounds delightful. Like, just on a phonetic level, you know?
Yes, Waverly
If it didn't have the association. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, now it's just, it sounds evil because that's right. What we know. Okay, so the sanatorium, which I found out is just a fancy word for like a long-term care facility. There were a bunch of them in the early 20th century that were for various quarantinable diseases. But this one was conceived and built in 1908 and 1910, like through 1908 and 1910. And the original facility was only meant to house about 40 people, and it was for tuberculosis. Wow. Yeah, 40 people, not very big. But TB in Kentucky just exploded, and it did become an epidemic. So they realized really early on that they needed a lot more space and a lot more staff. And they built a new facility between 1924 and 1926 that would be big enough to house over 400 patients.
Okay.
So that's a huge jump.
That's a very big, yeah.
Yeah. And on top of that, it housed all of the care professionals. So like any of the doctors, nurses, there were also people who took care of the day-to-day running of this facility. Because once you were there, you couldn't leave.
Yeah, you can't go back to, you know, anywhere else after you've been around all that tuberculosis. Yeah.
No, because it spread. So TB, I think that my first experience with TB as a disease was watching the movie Moulin Rouge in the 90s. Do you
So mine was actually watching the movie Tombstone.
Oh, same thing. It's the cough into the white handkerchief and then like you see the red blood.
Yeah, the blood in the handkerchief. Yeah.
It is not, that's like the romantic way that it's always shown in movies, but it's not a romantic disease. It is brutal. And it's really contagious, and they didn't realize how it was spread. So it's airborne, by the way, which is why if you're on a plane and someone's like positive for TB on that plane, everybody freaks out, like the CDC freaks out, and everybody on the plane gets quarantined, and it's really a bad thing.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, don't get on a plane with someone who's
don't want to get on a plane anymore.
Ever again. If you had TB, you were highly contagious, you had to be kept out of the general population. Places like Waverly Hills opened up to take in those patients and care for them. But once you were there, like you said, like you can't go back. So nurse, doctor, farmer, cook, it doesn't matter. You're committing to living there.
Can I interject real quick? Because I'm Please having do. Inspiration for a... wouldn't it be cool to have like a love story that took place at Waverly Hills, like with the staff?
So once I tell you some of the ghost stories...
Oh, oh no! Oh, no!
We'll get to it.
Oh, no.
But yeah, absolutely. Write that book. I'll buy it. you should trademark it. Trademark. So the facility was self-sufficient. It had a sustenance farm, which is pretty cool. It had a slaughterhouse, which already creeps me out. I mean, I eat meat. I know people eat meat. I know where meat comes from. Slaughterhouses are still really creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awful.
They had a water treatment plant and a post office. So they were really, like, they were just their own little town. And this part, I think, is dumb. So it wasn't completely cut off. They had one day every once in a while, or, like, one day a year that was Visitor's Day, where they would let everyone's families and everything come up to visit and, like...
Oh, wow.
Get coughed all over and, like, touch their faces and not wash their hands and then go back out into the world and infect everyone else with TB.
So I guess you can't do, like, you know, you don't have phone calls. You can't do FaceTime and stuff. Yeah.
No. And they didn't know any better. But, yeah, so that's not, like, super smart or ideal. And I'm sure that led to them having more patients later. So, great. Capitalism. So, the peak of the epidemic, people were dying pretty regularly there. And that's a shame. But their whole sort of treatment was fresh air and positive vibes, which is not really how you treat bacterial infections.
Yeah, it's not the most effective medicine.
No, it's nice. It's lovely, but
it is lovely. And, yeah,
yeah. Probably helps a little bit, but it's not gonna cure most people. So a lot of people did succumb to the disease, and in order to keep up those positive vibes, if other patients were watching bodies being carried across the lawn, that would be a real bummer. So they came up with a workaround.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah, yeah, you do. So there was a tunnel that had been built to transfer supplies from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill without people having to interact. And they started to use this to transfer the dead down to the bottom of the hill to be taken care of. And they nicknamed it the body chute.
Yeah. Ugh. So was it actually like a chute, like a laundry chute or a garbage chute? Or was it like little like cars that rolled down tracks, or
it was more like that. So it's like it a big like long tunnel. Yeah, and you okay. could stand up in it. It's people sized. It's got stairs on one side and then like a track. It's not the track's not there anymore, but it was like a track with a trolley kind of a thing on the other
side. Okay. I'd always imagined it the other way, which is infinitely more terrifying.
Just dump them down.
Just mm-hmm. dumping them, and yeah, which is just awful. Neither one are nice. I don't like either of them, but I like this one better.
Okay. And if you think about, I mean, I don't know, when was there electricity? I'm so terrible with dates. There would have been electricity.
I think there was electricity, but I don't know if it was, I don't know how, well, it was in Louisville. It was probably, they probably had electricity. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm totally guessing.
You're probably right. So, thankfully, the medical community discovered that TB was a bacterial infection and that a strong antibiotic could treat it. And so that helped ease the epidemic. And then eventually they also formed a vaccine mm-hmm. for TB. And so sanatoriums started to close all over the country because TB was going away, which is wonderful. Waverly Hills actually kept its doors open to patients until 1961, which was much later than I expected.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that late either.
So I don't know if they were still treating tuberculosis patients at that time, or if they were just, you know, long-term care facility.
Okay.
But they did close their doors in 1961. And about a year later, it opened as a geriatric care facility called Woodhaven that specialized in patients with dementia.
Oh, okay.
Which was forced to close by the state of Kentucky 20 years later because of patient neglect.
Yeah.
So the facility was overcrowded, it was understaffed, and the patients were being pretty seriously mistreated, which here is another reason why Waverly Hills is just the better name, because wouldn't you think that would cause more of a haunting situation?
Yeah, that's the...
than just like, I'm just sick and in the sunshine with my happy nurses.
I was thinking earlier when we were talking about the asylum versus sanatorium and how I think I said they were pretty similar, but in retrospect, the asylum was really renowned for like having awful treatment, and that was probably much worse, actually. Yeah.
Well, and we'll talk a little, because there were medicine was just a crazy field in the early, like in the turn of the century, so it's not like Waverly Hills got away from some of the creepier treatments, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I read that about it being a geriatric care facility, and especially for patients with dementia. And I just thought, oh, that seems like if you're going to create a recipe for a haunting.
Yeah.
That seems like more of it.
I can see a little bit of the rationale for it, though, because it really is like, if you take the context away, the setting that it's in is really gorgeous.
It is.
Like, oh, it's a yeah. really pretty part of the state, and you can see the river, and I could see why someone would think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
if you take all the other context away from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But all that context is there, so.
So after Woodhaven shut down. The building fell into disrepair. It was vandalized. It often had squatters, and it was generally picked over. You know, all the windows broken, all the doors broken, everything was in pretty bad condition. And I'm skipping over some history because I know at least at one point they like a big church tried to buy it and build a giant statue of Jesus or something, and I couldn't find a lot on that, so I'm just like, I don't know, I might cut this out.
That's okay. The most Kentucky thing I've ever heard.
they were very ambitious, maybe a little overly ambitious, and they didn't quite raise enough money, so it just seemed like, I don't know, it's like a non-issue. Anyway, in 2001, Charles and Tina Mattingly took over the lease, purchased the building, and apparently they are paranormal enthusiasts.
Okay.
So they walk up and they're like, oh, this building is obviously haunted and we want to buy it. And that's like, honestly, my life goal is to have that kind of money, because I play the lottery. I keep playing the lottery. I need to win the lottery so that I can buy haunted houses.
Yeah. Do you have a list of ones that you want to buy?
Oh yeah. There's a building in Texas. I'm actually originally from Texas. There's a building in Texas that was just for auction. And I was like, I mean, I could cash out my 401k, but I don't live in Texas anymore. So I figured it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But man, you can just drive down the street and be like, that one's haunted. That one's haunted. I don't know. Right. Anyway. So they bought the Waverly Hills campus, and they are working with Waverly Hills Historical Society to restore the building to its original sort of turn of the century splendor. And they've actually done a lot of really good work. If you look at pictures from, you know, like the 1990s when it was really, really torn down, and pictures now, you can see the the way that it's been starting to be restored.
Okay.
So they're actually doing some really good work with that. And they fund the restoration in two ways. One, by holding a really wicked haunted house every year.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's family friendly. I don't do haunted houses because I don't like to be touched.
Yeah, I would still never go anywhere near it. Yeah.
And also, this is like a legit haunted house. So like, how do you know if it's an actor?
Right,
it's an
exactly.
Ghost?
That's the thing. You can't
scary.
Do a haunted house at a real haunted house.
But that's the best place to do it. But that's why I don't go. Okay. So they do that, but they also do ghost tours and investigations throughout the year. So that's the kind of tour that you can go in. Because the outside is starting to be restored, but the inside is still really creepy looking.
Yeah.
I looked at the websites, therealwaverlyhills.com, and as of the time that I was doing the research, they were planning to reopen on June 5th. So, we'll see how it goes. I don't know how things are in Kentucky right now. How are things in Kentucky right now? Are y'all all sick?
We are, I think we're a little better off than average, but it's starting to kind of spike again like it is everywhere else.
Yeah. Ugh, it's such a bummer.
I know.
I was hoping. I'm just going to be so upset if Halloween gets canceled.
Can we
just get it under control?
I know.
Okay. So moving on to why we're all really here. The haunting. So I just gave you this whole history of like hippies and flowers and love curing disease. But that is not always how it was. For instance, even in the very early days of Waverly Hills, if tuberculosis started to affect a patient's brain and, you know, cognitive abilities, they would treat with electroshock therapy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So electroshock therapy was happening. The other thing is, I don't understand this at all, but because fresh air was considered to be such, like, the premium treatment for tuberculosis, they would essentially wheel patients out in wheelchairs onto the porches or like in front of open windows, and they'd just be sitting there in the snow. I didn't even know it snowed in Kentucky.
Oh yeah, it does. It does. I knew about the fresh air thing, or like the dry air thing, because from Tombstone, the whole reason Doc Holliday comes out to Arizona is because it's supposed to be dry and supposed to help his tuberculosis.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Well, and apparently sitting patients out in the snow doesn't help theirs either.
Yeah, that doesn't help either.
No. So that's not great. And even if you don't think about the treatment being worse than the disease or anything like that, there were still, just because the disease was so deadly, there were countless numbers of deaths over that period of time. One of my favorite, probably my favorite paranormal research television show is BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Okay.
Because it's hilarious. So I watched the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode on Waverly for this episode, and they had the owner quoting tens of thousands of deaths. So the current owner, Tina Mattingly, spoke to the boys on BuzzFeed Unsolved and said tens of thousands of deaths. Okay. But every place that I looked at online had a different estimate, a different number.
Yeah, I've seen wildly different numbers. They're all huge, though.
Yeah. And I sort of thought, okay, in one article, the number was put more, like, closer to 6,000 over the period of time. And it was open for about 35 years and could hold about 400 people. So even if it's around 6,000, that's losing half of your patients a year.
Yeah, and I think, if I remember right, it was also, like, the death count was so high because it was, like, the last stop. It's where, like, you sent the worst patients, you know, the ones that were worst off.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
so, I know.
It's a lot. And if you're talking about losing a patient every day for 35 years, that's 12,000-something patients.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, honestly, even if any period during that 35 years, if they were losing a I can't imagine being a nurse or a doctor and losing a patient every day.
That's it would unbelievable. Be, yeah.
Yeah. It's horrifying. So, but this is why record keeping is so important. We should keep records.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people go in, people investigate there all the time, and they have for years. And some of the really common things that they experience are doors slamming. I mean, that's obviously doors slamming, but here's a creepy one. Children's laughter is really common.
Oh.
Your face.
I don't like it.
It is. Yeah, that's the worst. So children's laughter, shadow people, which actually really freaks me out, faces in windows, and disembodied voices. That's like everything.
Yeah, faces in windows and children's voices, or children laughing is terrifying.
I was thinking about this because these are reported incidents from people that apparently started happening even before it had closed its doors for good. So even while it was Woodhaven Geriatric Facility, people were having experiences of seeing things and hearing things. But I'm not sure whether or not to call, I don't know. I have a weird thing about ghost hunters experiencing ghost shit. 'Cause like, if you're there and you're looking for it and it's really creepy, you're probably gonna feel something or see something.
Right, yeah.
But when people who are just professionals, like a police officer or a nurse or someone who's just a professional doing their job, has an experience like that that they share, that really creeps me out.
Yeah, and like it makes sense that like it would happen before they were closed because it was open for so long, for one thing, and then like it's that idea, I think there's like a meme about it, like that all ghosts aren't from like, they don't have to be from like the 1800s. Like you can have like a ghost from 2012 that's like singing Toxic by Britney Spears. You know, like stuck at that point in history too. I want
that ghost to be my ghost. I want that to be my next ghost experience. Oh, that's like the ghost of my high school years. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like the ghost of that song that you're just tired of. Ugh. But it will never go away now, you know.
No, that's amazing. So there are a couple of ghost stories that are more specific, and we can talk about which one you're going to create your romance around.
Okay. In a second. I'm excited.
Okay. So the first one was on that episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved, which, by the way, if you don't watch it, you should watch it because it's hilarious. And also, that's a really good episode to start with.
I've heard great things about it, but I have a 2-year-old.
Oh, so you don't get to watch anything.
I don't get to watch anything except for Disney movies that we probably aren't allowed to name.
Oh, no.
Or reference. And
I'm not interested in getting sued.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no BuzzFeed Unsolved for you. But if you ever...
I'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah. When your kid is old enough to be self-entertaining.
Uh-huh.
So on that BuzzFeed Unsolved episode, the owner tells a story about a person who was maybe a squatter or an unsheltered person who supposedly fell down an elevator shaft, and he had his dog with him.
Oh.
And people have seen a man by the elevator shaft, but she actually recounted an experience of walking into that stairwell where the elevator was and seeing a dog lying on the floor, like a German Shepherd sort of style dog.
Uh-huh.
And she tried to get its attention, to get it to like shoo, to move out of the way. And it kind of whimpered and it stood up and then it just was gone. And she says in the episode that she didn't see it disappear and it didn't walk away. It just wasn't there anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's weird, right?
It's weird, but it's a cool, like, yeah.
So
cool, I don't know.
She said that some people think that this person was pushed, and in the episode they argue about like why he would bring his dog with him, and that ghost dog, that makes me so sad.
It does. And if I were going to somewhere like Waverly Hills, I want to bring my dog with me, because it's either going to be incredibly sad or incredibly scary. And if it's sad, I want my dog there, and if it's scary, I want my dog there.
Right. And then your dog can scare away the ghost dog.
Yeah. Or
what
friends.
If they're friends?
They can be friends.
Oh, friends with the ghost dog. I'm going to cry. That makes me. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So that's one that's a little more contemporary. One of them is there was a suicide, supposedly. In one of the articles I read, it gave a name, and the name it gave was Mary Hillenburg, and that article said that she hung herself near 502, room 502, in the early years of Sanatorium. It was the 1920s. Supposedly, she was a nurse.
Okay.
And she had gotten pregnant, and she was unmarried, and the father refused to help her out, so she was desperate, she was hopeless, and she took her own life. And according to the stories, ever since then, 502 has been sort of a magnet for people with depression, for people who are feeling despair and sadness, and that people see full-bodied apparitions there. Like, they see a woman.
Wow.
In that room.
Okay.
And so that's really scary. There was a blog called Real Life is Horror, and this is a group of paranormal investigators who found a photograph of a woman, and on the back of the photograph, it said, Love, Mary Lee.
Okay.
And they insinuate in their article that the nurse in room 502 was, in fact, Mary Lee from the photograph. And there is a pretty famous photo from an investigation that has a full-bodied apparition in it that looks like a woman with dark hair in a white dress that looks like this photograph that they found in the nurse's station.
Okay.
That said, Love, Mary Lee. So a couple of things. If that's real and it's true, super creepy.
Yeah.
However, like most things that are too good to be true, The photo, if you look it up, like if you look up Mary Lee and Waverly Hills, the photo really looks like someone from the 1940s.
Okay. So the times don't like line up? Or?
Yeah, I don't think. And this comes from, it's that theater background. Like I know a little bit about costuming and stuff, and it just doesn't seem right. Time period wise.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing is, people are pretty skeptical of the photo. Like they say that it doesn't look like an apparition. It looks like it's been like photoshopped.
Just an actual person photoshopped on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a bummer. But if it's real, that'd be really creepy.
It would be.
And just because the Mary Lee thing isn't real doesn't mean that those two occurrences didn't take place. And if they did, I don't know. That's like a multi-generational jealous ghost love triangle waiting to happen.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you could do a really good book like that.
That's intense.
Are you writing it? You're like writing notes already?
Yeah. It's the wheels are turning. Yeah.
You're going to make $1 billion. No, I'm kidding.
I'll split it with you.
Oh, thanks. Finder's fee. So those are the three like major stories that have real background to them. But there are also a couple of children that are seen on the third floor of Waverly Hills. And one of them has a name. His name is Timmy. I don't know where the name came from.
Okay.
But Timmy is seen in the hallways playing with a ball, like a leather ball, an old-fashioned one. And then there's also a little girl who looks like a turn of the century, you know, like lacy dress kind of little girl who runs around and plays like hide and seek. Like if you're walking down the hallway, she'll peek her head out and she'll run into other rooms.
Oh,
and...
God. Ew.
she just wants to play with you.
I just imagined walking down one of those like destroyed hallways and then just seeing a head poke out. Ugh.
But also, it would be amazing. Oh, poor babies. I don't like to think about children being ghosts, but on the other hand, if you are a kid, if you believe in that idea of like ghosts or spirits that don't know that they're dead or like don't know that they need to pass on, it makes sense that there are kids that are ghosts.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. They're just trying to get all their childhood energy out, you know?
Yeah.
And it could take a long time. Poor Timmy. So that's about it. So we're out at the part where we sort of hash it out and then we're going to give it a grade. So what do you think about Waverly Hills?
I mean, the thing about it that strikes me the most is it's not a single narrative story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of like hodgepodge stories all together, which I love. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I thought I had more to say there, and then I just didn't.
That's me all the time. No, that's I could talk forever. I feel the same way. I think what I am finding in doing this podcast is that if a place has a specific narrative, you could disprove it.
That's it. Okay, so here's the thing that I have. Like, if ghosts and spirits are unknowable to us, I don't like it when they get wrapped up all nice and neat, because then they're knowable to us. And right?
Yeah.
So like it makes sense that, you know, from a storytelling standpoint, you have to do it to a certain degree, but like if we could figure it out that easily, then we figured it out.
Yeah.
That sounded way more like eloquent in my head before I said it out loud. And like, if you could figure it out, then we'd figure it out.
Oh, improvising is hard.
It's really hard.
That's why I write a script. So I feel the same way about it, actually. It's interesting to me when I do have a story, maybe not one that's really nicely tied up, but one that seems legit and that there's a little bit of evidence to support it. I like those. But I also like places like this. If you just look at pictures of Waverly Hills, it feels oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you, I mean, it just feels sad, you know?
It's one of those places that you think you can imagine what the inside is going to look like. And then when you see pictures, you're just kind of like, holy shit, that's... Oh, is it, I don't know what kind of language is okay. Sorry.
I drop F-bombs all the time. It's fine.
Okay. So, yeah, you see the actual photos of it and just how destroyed and devastated the inside of it is.
Yeah.
Like, beyond what you think could even be possible for, like, a structure.
Yeah.
That's still standing.
It's crazy. And on top of that, I mean, I guess just, honestly, just the architecture... I've always been a fan of the theory of ghosts as sort of memories of a place.
Oh.
And the amount of suffering, because even if it's just the hippie, like, fresh air and positive vibes healing my tuberculosis story, that's still a painful illness to deal with, and you're away from your loved ones and you don't have access, you know, and... people that are around you could die every day. That's a terrible place to be, especially if you know that you're going to die too.
Yeah.
And if you think of it as just that building holding on to the sadness and the pain of that period of time in history, of course it's haunted.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cry. This has been such a weepy episode.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not all, actually. No, it's not bad at all. I keep trying to find feel good ghost stories, and it's hard because ghost stories are not feel good.
They're not feel good.
I'm like, I'm gonna find a real, like, uplifting ghost story. Oh wait. When are there ghosts? It's like murder and mayhem. That's ghosts.
Yeah, they have to start off rough. They don't. Yeah. I guess they don't have to end bad, but they don't. They can't start good.
No, they never start well. No, and you have to go. Oh, I grew up with fucking Casper.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
Christina Ricci, and doesn't he come back to life at the end of that movie? That is not how the world works.
No, is it Macaulay Culkin?
No, it was Devin Sawa.
Oh, yeah, okay. Why the hell did I think it was Macaulay?
Because
he comes back to life, and then he plants traps all over his house. And
and these people try to break in, and it's Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah, they leave him behind on vacation.
Same movie. Same movie.
It's probably how he died.
yeah. No, it was Devin Sawa. He was a heartthrob.
Yeah, he was.
For middle school, Becky. Devin Sawa. Yeah, that's not how the world works, though.
Yeah.
That's not even how most ghost stories work. Now I'm going to want to do a whole, like, 90s upbeat scary movie marathon. Like, Hocus Pocus, Casper.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some other ones. I can't think of any other ones.
I'm trying real hard, yeah.
There were a bunch. There was, like, a whole period of time.
Yeah, like you said that, and I instantly thought of, like, 20 different, like, visuals, and I can't name a single one of them. Yeah.
I'm old. My brain doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, okay. For me, there aren't clear records backing up the specific stories here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an investigative journalist, and also I'm just lazy about my research. But I feel like if there were really clear records, I would have found some of them.
Yeah, you're probably right. I will say that this particular, especially early on, you know, given that it's in Kentucky, even though it would have been like Louisville, which was like a city, maybe you're like doctors and like very educated people were keeping records, but a lot of people probably still didn't really know how to read, and right? Or if they did, they weren't really detailed at all, you know?
That's true.
Like maybe names and dates and that's it, but probably not like flow charts or anything.
What I really need is a flow chart.
Yeah.
Please. I just need a flow chart. Yeah, and I don't know. Was TB one of those diseases where they burned everything that someone touched?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Because if that was the case, I don't know either. But
if that's the case, then yeah, that would explain the records.
Right, but I'm not sure. So I was a little disappointed about that. But on the other hand, like we were talking about, there's a clear sense of suffering there and grief. Concentrated places of tragedy, you're probably going to get some kind of activity that goes with that. And it just, I'm going to post some pictures on Instagram. It's just so spooky. The image, oh, especially the body shoot. It's so spooky. Oh my God. Like just looking at the pictures, I felt cold.
Yeah.
Through
yeah.
my whole body. So I give it an A for effort, but I'm like a notorious easy grader, so you can give it whatever
really?
Grade
okay.
you want. I've been told this. I give it an A for effort. I think if for no other reason, then I think it's brilliant to purchase a property and use its creepiness to raise money to restore it. So yeah. A, solely for creating a haunted house to restore this building. That's what that's for. And the building is really rad. It's beautiful. The architecture is beautiful. And they've embraced this history. And I don't know. Maybe they would argue with me that it's all real. I've never been.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So what do you think? What's the grade?
I think it's an A too, but I think it's for different reasons. I think that, and not that you I agree with your reasons too, but I think that, like we were talking about before, the hodgepodge of different stories that maybe interact and maybe don't. Definitely not in their own times, but maybe now. I don't know. You've got the potential for like that American Horror Story style, like. First season, yeah whole vibe going on.
If the producer of American Horror Story listens to this pod, they don't but if they do, that's your next season. I'm just letting you know. Waverly Hills.
Ryan Murphy, come on.
It's not happening. I am but moving to LA, so we'll see. Maybe I'll,
oh you are
yeah maybe I'll bump into
okay
it.
I know a couple of podcasters in LA.
They're all in LA. Doesn't everyone in LA have a podcast?
I'm sure they probably do.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. This is not my choice. LA, nothing against you. I actually really love the city. My whole family used to live out there, but my spouse got a job out there, and now I
okay.
have to move.
Yeah.
I'm forced.
I've never been to LA, but... I have conflicting feelings about it, which is weird for someone who's never been there. So
I think everybody has feelings about LA.
Yeah, yeah. I'm from like closer to the East Coast. So like when I think of cities, I think of like old, dense, heavy cores like New York and Philly and
different
yeah,
kind of city.
Very different yeah. kinds of cities. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, this has been really fun. Thank you so
this
much,
has been
Ian.
Fun. No, thanks for having me. I'm glad I got to come on.
Yeah, it was super cool. And honestly, I'm just really happy to have an excuse to have done Waverly Hills because
yeah,
it's one of my favorite locations. So I'm just excited to have gotten to do it. Remember, everybody, to subscribe, rate, and review to Obviously Haunted, but also to 13 Podcast because we could all use the help. If you review on iTunes or Stitcher, it helps people find us so that we can... get a broader listenership, and then we can do better stuff, and then we can come back to you with better stories, and that's what everybody wants, really. So do you have anything you want to add about 13?
No, I'll just say that I just finished, before we got on here, I did the credits for our latest episode, and the part that you just did is always the part that trips me up too, and I hate it so much. Like I redid it like 10 times, and I was looking at the clock like, I've got to get this right.
I just feel awful asking anybody for anything, and there's that part of me that's like, listen.
I know, but you got to. And it's the worst.
absolutely is. I'm like, no, but I love doing this. Please let me. So I guess on that note, like, listeners, thank you so much, because I love doing this and I really appreciate anybody listening and anybody doing anything to help us out. But I don't like to ask you for stuff.
Can I ask them for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Wherever you're listening to podcasts right now, stop what you're doing and like, rate, review, subscribe to Obviously Haunted. It helps her. It helps Becky get more listeners. It helps the algorithm push her up on the recommendations tab, and just all around helps get the word out about the show. How'd I do?
Thank you. That was great. Yeah.
I was like, I'm in the zone from earlier. Now I want to just do credits all night long.
Well, also the same for 13. Okay. So we're on social media. You can add us if you want, but, you know, be nice. And obviously haunted.com is the website. Or if you want to contact us, tell us your creepy stories, please contact us and tell us your creepy stories. obviouslyhauntedpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, thank you for listening. And remember, Louisville, Kentucky is obviously haunted.
I think we were there. We did it.
It was good.